A few minutes ago, Ron read to us, "When you walk through the water, I will be with you. And when you go through the flame, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." That brings comfort, I hope. But if you're still a little disoriented, and you're still a little disheveled, maybe you're a little down, and in general a little discombobulated, let me reassure you, you are all of the above. Every one of us is. We got kicked in the gut, and it still hurts. But as the great philosopher Muhammad Ali once said, "Taking a licking and still ticking." Or as a greater philosopher said, who just happens to be the King of Kings, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And if I may take a lighter aside, and to some of you this may not be lighter, but for many years, actually more than 40, Roseanne and I have been canoeing and rowing in the marshlands off of Hernando Beach. In fact, I'm wearing my rowing tie today that one of my beautiful nieces gave to me when she was 5 years old. And to show you how long I've had it, she's about to turn 34. So where was I? Oh, so anyway. So we've been canoeing and rowing for many years, and I always appreciated how wonderful salt water smelled. I loved it. But when that salt water is sitting on your floors and rotting your furniture and climbing up the walls, it stinks. And on that note, I'd like you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Number of years ago, well, first of all, a few people have asked me, why do I walk up the stairs so slowly? A number of years ago, I was in labor and delivery of Lutheran Medical Center in good old Brooklyn, New York. Some of you I know grew up in Brooklyn, so you know it well. And Margaret, the head nurse, was telling a few people standing there about a guy named Howard Diamond. And I said to myself, I'm Howard Diamond. And she knew that, but she was talking right in front of me. And she said, "This is Howard Diamond walking down the street." I agreed. And then she said, "And this is Howard Diamond going to an emergency." Many years ago, a wise man, who coincidentally happened to be my father, said, "Never run to an emergency." And he learned this from his experience, and later I saw it from mine. People would run down the hall, and they'd run up the stairs, and they'd run down the hall, and when they got there, what'd they do? They collapsed. And they were worthless. First thing you do in an emergency is you take your own pulse. And you better make sure you are cool, calm, and collected. Because if you're not, you are worthless. The book of Exodus. You all know the story, but I'm going to review it for you anyway. For over 400 years, God's chosen people were slaves. They were whipped, they were kicked, they were beaten, they were spat upon. They carried heavy bricks, they built large buildings, they sweated in the hot sun. Finally, they cried out to God. They groaned. They asked for mercy. And God answered them, and he gave them a leader by the name of Moses, who had a brother named Aaron. And Moses and Aaron went to Moses. They went to Pharaoh, the God king of Egypt. And they said, "Let our people go." And Pharaoh said, "No." And so God brought upon the people of Egypt 9 plagues. He brought gnats, and he brought locusts, and he brought frogs, and darkness, and hail, and boils. He made the Nile River into blood. And people couldn't swim in it, they couldn't drink it, they couldn't bathe. Ships couldn't go through it to bring goods. And each time there was a plague, and each plague destroyed a little bit of Egypt, they said, "Let our people go." And God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he said, "No." So after 9 plagues that didn't free God's chosen people, God sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn in every home. But he told the sons of Israel, "Take an unblemished lamb, slit its throat, take the blood, paint it on the doorpost, and the angel of death will pass over your house." And it did. And when Pharaoh surveyed the disaster that occurred in his nation, he finally said, "Get out." And the Hebrews gathered as much silver and gold as they could, and they walked out. And they walked out past the disaster. As thousands and thousands and thousands of Egyptians were digging holes to bury their dead. I did something last week that maybe I shouldn't have done it, but I did it, and I don't regret it. I went out to St. Pete Beach. We lived there for 29 years. Many of you have come to our home for various things. We lived on a little cul-de-sac called Bikini Way South off of 59th Avenue. And as I was driving slowly down 59th Avenue, I saw people's entire lives sitting out on the curb, waiting to be removed by the garbage men and put in the trash, be gone forever. As I drove down 59th and came back, I realized that not one house had been spared. And that's what happened that night in Egypt. Not one Egyptian home had been spared. And when the sons of Israel were walking out as free men, they walked past this incredible, incredible disaster. The first place they were supposed to go, if you look late in chapter 13, they were supposed to go to the land of the Philistines. But God said, "Well, if I take them through the land of the Philistines, I think they're going to wimp out. They're going to get afraid. They're going to think the Philistines are unbeatable, and they're going to want to go back to Egypt." So he took a long route and got them to the Red Sea. But the first place they went, towards the end of, in verse 20 of chapter 13, it says they went to a place called Succoth. Why did they go to Succoth? They went to Succoth because the Egyptian mines were there. And they went to pick up the Hebrew slaves that work in the mines, because not one of God's chosen people would be left behind. So they took the long route and got to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is a pretty nasty place. It's very threatening. It challenges people. You want to come in and cross? You're going to die. Meanwhile, Pharaoh is pacing up and down, and he's thinking what many of us have thought. What was I thinking? I just gave up a labor force of 600,000 able-bodied men, and chances are on that labor force, there were some women and children, they could work. Old guys like me, we could still work. There were some of them, a big labor force. And so what does it say? It says in verse 4 of chapter 14, God speaking, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And in verse 5, it said, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart. So there was a change of plan. There was a change of heart. Pharaoh says to his general, saddle up. And in verse 7 of chapter 14, and I'm reading these verses because Roseanne always says, when you get up to preach, you direct us to verses, but you never read them. So today, I'm reading them. Verse 7, he says, he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. So here's the scene. Here's the Red Sea. Red Sea would be a disaster if you try to cross it. Here's the largest army and the most powerful army in the world coming out of Egypt, coming down the turnpike. Death. Death. I think this is an emergency. I think it's time to call 911. But an emergency, you're supposed to take your own pulse, be cool, calm, and collected. But in verse 11, people speak to Moses and said, because they're frightened, and they say, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? So the people, instead of taking their own pulses and being cool, calm, and collected in the middle of this emergency, they're panicking. They're afraid, they're scared, they're anxious. And this is what God says to them. In verses 13 and 14, there are three important words, and they all start with the letter S. Silent, see salvation. He says to his chosen people, shh, open your eyes and watch. I save you. Could you imagine? He's offering salvation to 2.5 million people, plus or minus, depending on the margin of error. 2.5 million people who complain, who are rebellious, who are unworthy, who are disobedient. Who does that remind you of? Complaining, rude, undeserving, disobedient. That reminds me of me. Complaining, rude, undeserving, disobedient. And don't look over there to that woman because she's shaking her head, agreeing with everything I have to say. And yet, he's offering. But here's the kicker. I was saved. That's a miracle. Now, let's watch as this miracle occurs. So here's the sea. Come on in and you will drown. Here's the largest army in the world racing down the turnpike. If you've ever studied physics, you know there's a great question, what happens when the irresistible force meets the immovable object? Here's the largest and most powerful army in the world. The irresistible force coming to meet the immovable object, Lord God. What does he do? He puts his hand out, and the most powerful army in the world is stopped in its tracks. And he stops this emergency. And this army can't budge, it can't move one inch to the left, it can't move one inch to the right. And then he takes his other hand, and he says, Moses, take your staff and put it over the sea and divide the waters. Moses is obedient. Takes his staff, put it over the waters, and one half of the sea goes to the right, the tallest, most powerful wave you will ever see, taller than any storm surge you will ever see. To the left goes half the sea, tallest, most powerful wave you will ever see, taller than any storm surge you will ever see. And right down the middle is a beautiful, dry, straight and narrow path. And God wants his chosen people to go down the straight and narrow path. In fact, he doesn't just want them to, he commands them to. And guess what happens? These disobedient, unworthy people are obedient, and they start walking down the straight and narrow path. 2.5 million of them, plus or minus. How long does it take? I don't know. I don't care. I know that all of them made it. They walked down the straight and narrow path. And when they got to the other shore, can you imagine this scene? That they turn around and they see that straight and narrow path, and they see those waves taller than any storm surge, and they realize that they passed through that and were saved. And then when every one of them is on the other side, God takes his hand down and he hardens their hearts. They could have said, "Phew, I'm hungry, I'm tired, who cares, let them go, let's go back to Egypt." He hardened their hearts. And when he took down his hand, they raced down the straight and narrow path. The enemies of God's chosen people went down the same straight and narrow path that God's chosen people went down. But there was one little difference. When they got to the middle, God said, "Gotcha." And this storm surge from the right collapsed on them. And this storm surge from the left collapsed on them. And every one of the Egyptians drowned, including their God King, Pharaoh. And God's chosen people were saved. And the emergency is over. They didn't have to call 911. And in retrospect, they didn't have to panic. They didn't have to be afraid. They didn't have to be anxious. They were saved. So, are you saved? How many times has Pastor Lancaster stood up here and Pastor Cole before him and said, "If you die tonight, do you know where you're going?" Some people will die tonight. As Sean Connery said in the movie, The Untouchables, you got to die sometime. And it's true for every one of us. And here's an irony of life. Every day that you live, you're one day closer to death. And the question is, are you making the right choice? And it's a simple choice. Are you choosing Jesus Christ, making him your king, and saying, "I want to live in heaven forever"? Or do you choose Satan and saying, "I want to live in hell forever"? I think that's a no-brainer. But there are some very intelligent people who make the wrong choice. Some of them, in fact, happen to be in my family and in Roseanne's family. And I would like to take a baseball bat and hit them over the head. But instead, I just mourn for them. So please, make the right choice. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to be saved, to live forever in paradise. Lord, and I just raise up to you all those who have those hardened hearts, as all those Egyptians did and Pharaoh did, and they drowned. They didn't make it across to the other side. They were walking down the straight and narrow path, but they didn't make it far enough. And I just raise all those hardened hearts up to you, Lord. And I just ask that you soften them before it is too late. Amen. Thank you all for listening.